Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, everyone did hear that, Teresa. Good evening, my friends. It is time once again for America's Most Haunted. I am Eric Olson. And you know what? I don't talk about numbers because numbers are just numbers. But if you go right this moment or any time in the reasonably near future and go to AM Haunted on Twitter, you will see a magical transformation in the offing. We are on the verge of the 100,000 follower mark, and I'll tell you, it has been a relatively smooth path, though not one without effort. All right, well, tonight, goodness, what an amazing show. Now, see, I think I am funny as hell. I will stand in front of the mirror and crack myself up for not minutes, not hours, but days on end. That's how funny I think I am. But I am not official. I am not official comic, let alone paranormal comic. Before we talk to Karen and Sonia, and I was told it is Sonia, feel free to correct me if it's Sonia, Sonia.
Nope,
Teresa, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Hi, Sonia. Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Eric. Good to
Hi.
Be back. This is going to be fun. I'm very excited to talk to you guys because, as you see, my partner and co-host, he fancies himself a comedian. So this
That's
will
so
be a
cute.
Fun night.
No, you know what I am? I'm better. I'm a humorist.
A humorist.
Oh.
I am frickin' Will Rogers is who I am.
You're not going to be punny, are you?
I am Mort Saul.
I met Mort Saul a couple of months ago.
I think I saw a picture of you with him. He looked like his head was melting.
Yes, he was very nice and funny.
He was so nice it was funny, or he was so funny it was nice?
He was so, he was a little crabby, but he was very nice. And as with most gentlemen his age, he was a little crabby. And had
what happens when your face melts?
I know. Well, it was impeding his, it impeded his progress when his face melted. But I thought that was funny that you didn't believe us. That was the first email we got from you, that you were like, paranormal comics? No way.
Oh, I knew it was way. I was just throwing myself into the humor of the situation because, as you know, even better than we, there are a lot of paranormal enthusiasts, investigators, experts, authors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who take themselves, shall we say, rather seriously.
Yes.
So yes. That's why it struck me as funny. But let's talk about you. You really are the paranormal comics. It's Karen Rontowski and Sonia King, and you bring comedy and paranormal insight to audiences through television, film, radio, print, media, and live performances. Sonia is an animal communicator. So am I. Hi, dog. How are you? And a Reiki master, like my Buju mother-in-law. You guys know what that is, right?
I know. Is that Jewish Reiki?
Jewish Buddhist person.
Oh.
Yes. So anyway, Reiki master, I don't know if she's a master, maybe she's a mistress. Karen provides tarot card readings, is also a Reiki master, so that's something you have in tandem, and sets up and guides ghost hunting events. Karen's upbeat, optimistic, and clean sense of humor has earned her headlining spots all over the world, even here in Cleveland. She has also opened for such showbiz legends as Bob Hope when he was alive, I'm hoping. Mm-hmm. Ray Charles, and the Monkees. You don't often hear those three names in conjunction with each other.
No, as my intro usually says, it's all people who are dead or should be.
Well, that's a good one. So anyway, it goes on and on and on, all this bio, cool stuff. You guys rule. You are funny. You do it in the real world. People pay you. How cool is that? And not to belittle at all in any way, Sonia, I'm actually very interested in animal communication. We had a cat that my wife was just – she might as well have married the cat, except that she was a cat and she was a girl. But anyway, she ran away, or I don't know. We know she disappeared. We don't know what happened. She had 8 freaking kittens in our house. She just appeared on our doorstep, pregnant as all get out, had the 8 kittens in our house, and disappeared soon thereafter. And my wife was bereft. So she actually went, and I wish I could remember who it was, because I'm sure it's not that big a world. It was a supposedly fairly well-known, animal psychic. And she gave some interesting information. All of it was rather fuzzy and nondescript. I see a tree and things like that. There are clouds. And we never did find the cat. But she was interesting and all. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you...
Go ahead.
Sonia is actually my Reiki master.
So she taught
me. Isn't that weird?
There's a hierarchy of masterdom.
There is a hierarchy. There is. And I understand your wife's love for her cat, because I have always said I would marry my dog, but that's just because he reminds me a lot of my ex-boyfriend, because he's not pulling his weight financially, and they're both afraid of the vacuum. But, you know, if I had 8 kittens, I would run away, too. I would definitely leave to someone else.
It was a welfare scheme.
It may have been. You know, I somewhat truncated the story, and I shouldn't have done that. She stuck around, and she was the absolutely most amazingly dutiful mother until they were all ready to go, until they were all ready to be out on their own. I mean, she could not have been more attentive and dutiful and nice and patient. And she had a cat smile on her face. Then she disappeared. That's what was so upsetting. Because my wife so admired her diligence and her kitty motherhood that she just couldn't believe it. It was like a story. It was like a Disney story, you know. She stuck around, she raised them, she gave them what they needed, and then she was on her way. She was in the wind. She had one of those little teeny hobo sticks and a little bag on the end. Walking down the street. No, actually, we just don't know what happened. We hope it's something like that, but she was probably eaten by, the Tyrannosaurus Rex next door.
Oh, we didn't ruin the really cool story. I don't think so. I'm going to pat my eyes here.
Yeah, it is a good story. It's a true story, and we were all sad. Even I was somewhat sad, though not that sad, because, man, oh, man, we had enough cats by then.
You almost had a baseball team.
Gosh. Well, we did get rid of. We kept one of the litter, the biggest, freakiest looking one. Oh, since you're animal people, I'll tell you this before I really do shut up for a while anyway. They were, let's see, of the 8, something like 4, I think it was 4, were polydactyl. And when you added up all of their digits, one of them had 7 on each back foot. And
what is polydactyl? Is that low in cholesterol? What is polydactyl?
More than 5 toes per foot.
Oh.
So 4 of them had 6 on at least, one paw, and one of them had 7 on the 2 back and 6 on the 2 front. And when you added up all these, he or she, I forget what that one was, missed the world, and I do mean world record, by only 2 digits.
Oh, I would blame it on the father. I think he must have been weird.
Oh, my God, yes. And if there was only one father.
Oh,
my
yes.
Goodness. Feline.
Well, or maybe
bloodhood.
It was the father. He was the father and the brother.
Oh, well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I will not say anything about the state where my wife grew up.
You just did.
West Virginia. All right. So, ladies, tell us about yourselves and how you sort of which did you do first? Were you comedic first? Were you paranormally oriented first, or concurrently? And how did you decide to pursue this rather narrow, specific, spire-like approach to life and showbiz. We are fascinated. Tell your tales.
Well, so who would you like to go first?
The master.
Oh, that's you, Karen.
Oh, wait, you're both masters. The master
right,
is Katie. Master.
Go ahead, Sonia.
Yes,
oh, okay. Yeah, it was one of those things that kind of came together later. Was doing those things separate for quite a while. And, what it just seemed to be time to merge the two passions that I have and shared that the way that I knew how on stage. And that's the way it happened. And fortunately, Karen and I knew each other and saw that we had something on our own that doing this together could actually really be a lot of fun and for us and audiences. And that's the way that it's turned out.
Because in your case, one and one doesn't make two. One and one makes either one or three.
Did we change to a math program? What happened?
I know, I'm out. I know. If math, no. I'm going to hang up right now if there's math.
No. You see, one and one equals two. That's your traditional math. We learned that early on.
Yeah.
But when you're forming a team, a partnership, one and one makes one, but you are still individuals, so then it's three.
That's right, because it's a three-part show. I'm following. I got you.
Yeah,
I got your tricky math, your new math. I think that Sonia gave you the short recap. I was doing, we've both done comedy. I don't know, Sonia, you're like between 14 and 20, right? I've been on the road for like 20 years. And when I was on the road, I got to go to all these great cities. I would always go to the haunted places. And everybody, when you go into a town, everybody knows some place that's haunted. Which, by the way, Cleveland always keeps coming up as one of the most haunted cities, which I'm not positive because I still think Pennsylvania is pretty haunted.
But it's not a city.
But it's not a city. No, Ohio. Yes, I'm sorry. Ohio and Pennsylvania always seem to be in the battles of what is the most haunted. And you guys have like six different four-hour ghost tours, like from the same company of different things there. So it's just crazy. But I used to go to the haunted places, and I was always like a kind of a historian of the tarot. And I've always studied it and read it and just really got into it. And then what happened one day was my dog got sick, and everybody, I was spending thousands of dollars at the vet, and everybody goes, you have to call this comic, Sonia King, you have to call her. So finally I call her, and she gets it right away, what's wrong with him. It saves me all this money. And then I said, she goes, she didn't know that my dog is actually a service dog, so he wears a little red vest. And she kept saying, what is the red thing that you pull over his head and you put on his back? He can't stop talking about it. He says he has a job, and he's very important, and he's very good at his job. He can't stop talking about his job. And I said, well, he's a service dog. She says, oh. So then later in the conversation, I go, why does he hate the dog across the street? And she goes, oh, well, that dog doesn't have a job. He's not important like Curtis is. And I thought, oh, my God, my dog's a Republican. He was so mad. He just didn't like that. He's a Papillon. And they, like, Sonia calls him the boss because he's so bossy. She goes, how's the boss? but then we became friends, and I had done a show with a friend of mine where on Halloween – I would read tarot cards for the crowd. We do our regular show, and then I would get on stage and read tarot cards for the crowd, and he would ask the questions, and we would always make it funny and light. And then when I was talking to Sonia, she goes, I was thinking, I really want to do animal communication on stage. And then I was like, well, let's do it all. And just since then, the show has evolved and become just better and better, and we're working even better as a team. And it was funny that you said narrow, because we are tinkering with the show name. It'll be like a night of comedy with the Paranormal Comics, because everybody, we did this show, and this guy's like, can you call all the paranormal groups in the city? And I was like, yeah, that's like going house to house. That's like looking for 4 and 5 people that would want to go.
Oh, just go crazy and bring in the Bigfooters, too.
Maybe a little ufology would be great. And then since then, we've just been performing in some paracons, and which are great. That's what we, you know, we love that. And then we do, we try and set up shows with animal rescues so that they can make some money, because we're all just really animal people.
How interesting. And how long have you been working together?
Could it be, well, we've probably done the actual show together. It would be over a year, because, or would it be a year? Because we started in Scranton, because we wanted to go right to the comedy mecca. and then it was a lot of, you know, because she lives in Pennsylvania, I'm in LA, so there's, so we're all, but we talk like every day because we're best friends anyway. So we kind of started a year ago. We probably would have started planning before that. So I'm not good with time at all.
Oh, that's okay. I was just trying to get a general framework. So that's pretty recent then. You know, this is not a long, long, long time thing. So developing. It's developing. This is something that's, you know, sky's the limit.
Yes. Well, but we also still have always done the stand-up. So that's solid, and that you come, you get a full stand-up show from 2 headliners. Boom. And then the rest is just candy. But, you know, we did it a couple of small places right outside of Pittsburgh. And the funny thing was we said, oh, and we'll do readings after the show. One little bar we went to only had 60 people, and every single person stayed for a reading. And we were there till like 3 in the morning. And we were like, you've never seen this before. We're like, you know, we're the mystical that came down from the mountain with the answers. And I think we actually had to tell people to go home, because it was so weird. So
the crystal ball says, go home now.
Oh, yes. So once the show gets rolling, you know, like once we get people to the show, we can't get rid of them. It's the getting them to the show, and then the talking part, that's fine. But, right?
Now, yeah. How much of your humor, how much of your stand-up, of your routine is, you know, broadly speaking, paranormal? I mean, in other words, are your jokes paranormal, or is that kind of a separate portion of the show?
If you come see my show, it's very obvious who I am, because there's a lot of jokes about crystals, and there's jokes about, I get into ghost hunting. And the ghost hunting stuff, you sort of have to keep it on that level of somebody that has seen like 10 minutes of a ghost hunting show, because they, you know what I mean, you don't want to lose them. But when I do the paranormal conventions, there's obviously a lot more that they get right on board with and stuff like that. But I'm still, like, me personally, I'm still finding that medium, and I would like to start telling ghost stories in the show, you know, that everybody could. But, so we do. And a lot of times after the shows, we had a couple of places where they let us leave ghost hunts after. And, in fact, we were at the Carnegie Free Library, and the guys from Western Pennsylvania Paranormal Hunters came out and took us. It was great.
Well, then you're that's near us. Teresa, I'm sure, is absolutely chomping at the bit, because she really is the expert. I mean, I there's probably no one who knows haunted Cleveland and this general area, which would certainly extend over to Western Pennsylvania. In fact, one of the only 10 locations in our book is in Western Pennsylvania. So,
which
Teresa,
one?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, yeah, as you said, I am an expert, because I've watched 20 minutes of a ghost hunting show, so I've from watching that show. That's the problem I run into, is that's how people learn about the paranormal, is through watching ghost hunting shows.
Right.
And you know, there's good and bad in that, but for the most part, that they just kind of make me laugh. Of course, my favorite comedy on right now is Finding Bigfoot. I think that is the best comedic show on television right now, and I can't wait for it to come back. But
I could have helped everybody out when it comes to that, because my dad was so hairy that seriously, if, like, if he had been born a day later, he just would have been like a just one giant. He would have been a monkey. He would have been Bigfoot. He is just nothing but a he is a missing link. My dad is.
Have you guys heard? This is just today, and once again, it's freaking Pennsylvania. Although I think it's more central Pennsylvania. There's this big thread going on now amongst the Bigfooters that there's been this report of a Bigfoot shooting.
Oh.
In central Pennsylvania. And, I mean, people are taking it seriously enough that they were listening to the police scan and, you know, on and on and on. And I'm not sure where it's gone because I haven't checked in the last few hours. But,
well,
my goodness.
I live in central Pennsylvania. And, where I just referred to my dad as in the past tense.
Oh.
Because I heard of the shooting as well.
That was phony. You guys are phony. Wait, now, go ahead, Teresa. I'm gonna go back through the tweets and track this down.
My initial thoughts on that is it's a hoax, but you know, look it up. Who knows?
I'm looking. Altoona.
Altoona.
They're saying it happened. I mean, if whatever happened, it was north of Altoona.
North. I don't know where Altoona is.
I was under the impression that Bigfoot was vegetarian. But I always wondered where exactly does Bigfoot have to be? Because you never see him sitting down. Everything you see him, and he's on his way somewhere. In fact, if you look real close, you can see catch him looking at his watch. Like his to-do, like what's on the Bigfoot to-do list that he's always moving. Have you ever seen that?
He's a guy on the frickin' go.
Yes.
It's tough being a missing link.
I looked at the pictures. I thought he had a fanny pack.
You know, you got to keep the eight people happy, and you got to keep the people happy. You're the link.
That's right.
That's a tough position.
All right,
I see nothing more. The latest report was, which has not been updated that I can tell, was from several hours ago, and people were following the police scanner north of Altoona, Pennsylvania, and the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society was on this like white on rice, being that, you know, they live in Pennsylvania, and they have Bigfoot in their society's name. So, I mean, this was made for them. They are standing tall and proud. But anyway,
I have to say, I may make jokes, but Sonia knows I would be the first one with them. I would be the first one to go. Because I will go do anything like that.
I would too, but you call it a society. I call it a family reunion.
All right, so there's nothing more on it. So I don't know. You know, either they just don't have any more information, or it was nothing. what a shocker that would be.
Break in. I'll have my phone on all night. If something happens, you give me a call.
All right. Well, you know, let's stay on top of that. On the serious side, I mean, just to go through the list of the paranormal, broadly speaking, categories. You know, Bigfoot's the one I'm really right on the fence on, and we've talked about this many times. I think Teresa's fairly similar position to me on this one. You read a list, you know, of all the reasons why there can't be a Bigfoot, and it makes perfectly great sense. You know, where's the body? you know, why is there no fossil record? You know, on and on and on and on, blah, 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 blah. There's all kinds of logical reasons why Bigfoot does not exist. But then you can read another list of all the reasons why it does exist, and it, you know, the volume of the sightings and at least a little tiny bit of the evidence, you know, some of it physical evidence seems vaguely supportive, perhaps, maybe, you know, that kind of thing. And if you buy any of the photographs or images, you know, there could be something there. And then the record of, you know, centuries of Native American lore,
right,
regarding them, you know. So, I mean, I really ultimately wouldn't be surprised either way. How do you guys feel about ghosts? You know, of the paranormal, what is the most likely for you in descending order?
I don't have any problem with ghosts. I mean, that is just, to me, I feel like that's a fact. Like, I, you know, that one I'm good on. UFOs I know a little bit about because my uncle actually worked at Area 52 where they did the laundry for Area 51. And he said they had some awful stains. And, but the one, the Chupacabra, they've had a couple of pictures. That one, I don't know. That's that one I would be Bigfoot. I'm with you. I would be easy to convince there was a Bigfoot. The Chupacabra, a little less. The Jersey Devil, the only thing I can figure is the Jersey Devil is a homunculus where so many people have put so much energy into it that then all of a sudden they see it. Because that one doesn't. I mean, that's complete folklore to me. The Jersey Devil.
Right. Would seem that way to me as well.
I mean, at least you could say, like, Bigfoot was, there have been other Bigfoots, or like the Jersey Devil that came from a woman that got mad at her husband, and, you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is kind of...
And it has
not,
wings, and it's, you know,
right.
I mean, it's more like a Greek myth type.
Yeah, yeah, that to me is the least. But you know what I do have to say, though? Because of some of the things I've seen ghost hunting and the things that have happened, and I had some really bizarre trips. And keep in mind, without drugs, these ones were without drugs. I've had some weird things happen. It's so hard to look at anyone else's experience and go, I don't believe that. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And we've been doing – Teresa's been out there in the real world hunting ghosts for decades. Well, she would be if she were that old, but she's not.
Well, she knows, you know, and then with ghost hunters, too, there's always one guy, and when you meet another group, there's always one guy who doesn't believe anyone's evidence except his own. His is the only evidence that's right. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I'm kind of the opposite. I hate to disregard anybody, you know, what they tell me or something. Granted, we do have a tendency to be in a sort of a line of interest that lends itself to, let's say, lesser than balance people
in the audience.
Yeah. And you know, you have to. What do you say? I, you know, my story could sound just as crazy as theirs. I have one story that I don't even tell because it is so well down when you even make that. It was so out there. I can't even. You would think I was nuttier than I actually am.
Well, tell us.
I guess I set myself up for that, didn't I?
What kind of a host would I be?
All right, this is all I'm saying. I was driving with a friend from Carlsbad to Yuma, Arizona, and all of a sudden everything kind of got weird, and then we were in Tijuana. And we traced it backwards. We went through our credit card things. We have no idea how the car, if the time didn't work, we looked up, the CD started to skip, and we both looked down and said, what was that? And we looked up, and she started screaming, oh, my God, we're in Mexico. And we have no idea. I don't know if that was a wormhole or what. Or if, you know, like that to me, if I can tell that story, I cannot doubt any other one's dragon or troll stories or whatever they have. I don't know.
So you had a time loss. What time was it?
We figured, I think it was like an hour that we couldn't figure out. There was no way we should have made it there that fast, even if we had been going there. And what's even stranger is we would have crossed a freeway called the 8, which I used to live on. I used to live right on the corner of the 8. We never crossed the 8. We never passed my old house. We never passed anything. It was the strangest thing. That was the strangest thing ever. And then we didn't think we were going to get out of Mexico. And then I had to call my gig in Yuma. And I actually had I told them I had a car accident because I couldn't tell them I can't get out of Mexico. It takes me 4 hours to get out of Mexico. And they would be like, why did you go from L.A. to Mexico to get to
because
Yuma?
I'm a paranormal comic and I had a time warp.
Yes, exactly.
Because she had a new bit.
I know.
She had a new bit.
That's crazy. So you're talking about Carlsbad, California?
Yes.
To Yuma. I know that way, too. In fact, we just drove that way. In fact, we didn't go to Tijuana. The normal way from Carlsbad to Yuma just a couple of years ago, because we took my youngest son to Legoland.
Right, so you want to take the 8 all the way out. So you go down the 5 and you take the 8. And then, of course, when you have paranormal friends, you call them, and the first thing they say is, oh, my God, you went through a wormhole. But then here's the weirdest thing ever. We called Sonia because the dog was in the car with us, and I said, Sonia, what did the dog say? We didn't tell her anything. I go, I'm not going to tell you anything. Ask her what he thought. Do you remember this, Sonia?
Yes, I do.
And what did he say?
Well, she didn't tell me anything about what had happened whatsoever. She just called up and said, ask Purge what he saw. That's the only thing she said to me. And I said, well, he said you went through a wall. Like, it just went from one place to another place, just like going like straight through a wall. And he saw it. He saw what that looked like. He described that. And then they were freaking out because they were blown away because, like, they were feeling like, did this really happen? And then the awesomely cool Papillon said, of course it did, ladies.
That is just bizarre. I mean, that really, really is weird.
Well,
so, I mean, do you think it was physical or do you think it was mental? I mean, in other words, did you just have some sort of erasure of your minds of what happened, or did you physically transport instantaneously, like sort of, or whatever?
Well, I don't know. I think we it was funny because I got gas, so we had the credit card receipt, and then when we got over the border and we couldn't get out of Mexico, that was what was so weird. And I thought they were going to try and take the dog because I couldn't figure out. Because the dog travels with me everywhere, and sometimes when you go, like, to Canada, you need special paperwork, and I thought, oh, my God, and it turns out no one cares what you take out of Mexico. No one cares, as long as it's not drugs or whatever. I don't know. They were so – we couldn't believe how easily we got through, because it's also the law now that you need a passport. We didn't have passports. We didn't have anything. And I was like, we're just plotting out who we would have – like, how – I was like, okay, well, I have sex with someone – to get the dog through. That I would do. I would do that. Okay, what if we get thrown in jail? You know what I mean? Like, it was so bizarre. So I don't know, but I don't think we both could have had mind blanks or whatever. I don't even know. But you know what? I barely think about it because it was so weird. But it's my friend, and she's a psychic medium, and when we get together, the energy is just so, that's what we were thinking. The energy was so weird. I don't know, but she called her husband as soon as we got over the border and said, I better tell him where I am in case we need help. So we had this time stamp from when I got gas on my credit card to the time that she called her husband, and it didn't match that we got to Tijuana in that time with no traffic, zero traffic, nothing. We were just... All of a sudden, we looked up, and I had never seen this part of the thing. There was no border. There was nobody stopping you to get in. I don't know. We called somebody that worked on the Border Patrol, and they said, I don't know any place where you can just drive in. I've heard variations on that, though, that you can. But anyways, we're way off on a weird tangent here. But that is my most bizarre
story. Well, that
story
is
ever.
An amazing story. Teresa, what do you think of all this?
Oh, am I? Do I get to talk now?
For it.
Excellent. I've lived in California, and I have made a trip down to Mexico, and I, too, don't remember how I got there and back, but I think that there were other than paranormal reasons that back in the 80s, and my whole decade was a time warp back then. But what I wanted to comment on is the two of you being women and being comedic women and talking about the paranormal. I have found in this field there are so many fuddy-duddies. There are so many people who just take it too seriously. And it's almost like you're looked upon, if you don't take it seriously, that you're not serious about what you do or you shouldn't be in the field. And me and my partner, Kathy, my ghost hunting partner, we've been, I think we're going to get tomatoes thrown at us for some of the things that we say. And we talk and give talks and stuff because people are just, they're too serious about it, and I'm very serious about it. This is my passion. This is my life. But, my God, if you can't laugh at yourself, and let's face it, there's a lot of funny people in the paranormal. Just take pictures at a convention, and you can stick Walmart at a paranormal convention. They'll just fit right in. It's seriously, man, there's some. My husband thinks it's hilarious. He just loves going through my Facebook page and looking at some of my friends. But, you know, it's nice that you don't take it too seriously. Earlier on when I was trying to get in, and unfortunately I couldn't join in the chat, we had somebody in the chat room that I wanted to bring on, Mr. Scott Gruenwald. I don't know if you ladies know him, but he's a very funny paranormal investigator who's very serious about what he does, but he's a very funny guy, and he's known for his sense of humor and what the levity that he brings to the field, and I was hoping
he was on Paranormal Paparazzi.
Hi, well, Scott and I are actually working on projects together.
I love Scott, and I was hoping to bring him on, but he disappeared from the chat room. So if he's listening, I hope he calls in because I'd like to have him back on. He's hilarious, and he's actually one of the first people I ever heard that approaches this field with a sense of humor. And
absolutely.
I mean, on purpose. And so I applaud you for that. And of course, obviously, for being women, because we all know that women rule. But I think it's great what you do. I have a question about Courage, your Papillon. You said he was a service dog.
Uh huh.
What does he do? Because my dog, I have a little small breed dog too, and my husband says he's useless. And I was just hoping I could maybe turn my something.
You know what? I hope that Scott does call in. Scott and I have been trying to get together to work on stuff. I think he's brilliant. My dog helps me with a disability that I have in my sleep, where I have problems and I choke and he wakes me up. But what breed dog do you have?
I call him a Chidoodle. He's part Chihuahua, part miniature dachshund, and part toy poodle. So he looks like a Nightmare Before Christmas Halloween.
Perfect. Well, I know that Papillons are like the number three smartest dog or something ungodly. Like they're really, like Courage is, they have problem solving capabilities almost to the point where they're, he knows how to get his way. The boss knows how to get his way.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I think my dog's beyond training though. He's looking at me right now like, why are you talking about me?
When you were talking about, I took a couple of TV shows in Hollywood to pitch, and all they said was, "We don't think paranormal people laugh. They don't want anything funny." And I was like, "Really? You should go to my show at a paranormal convention and watch that." You know.
I think that's what this is like. Some of the paranormal shows that are out, and they're, you know, they come and go in waves, and there's so many of them, and they started to become very, very generic and vanilla, and they were all seeming very similar. They were all very much alike. And then the ones that stood out to me are the ones where the people on it have a little bit of personality. Destination Truth was one of them because of Josh Gates and his sense of humor and his levity and his ability to laugh at himself. And I thought that was brilliant, and I thought that's exactly what the paranormal was missing. And seems like we're back to let's be serious and it's all about the evidence and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, evidence to me is kind of, it's neither here nor there, because let's face it, anything can be faked. So for me, it's about the experience, right, not about the evidence. And as far as paranormal TV, it's about entertainment. I like to watch where they go, who's doing what. I think the location is very interesting, but, you know, they're not documentaries. And so you have to take it, you know, it is entertainment. But I think that, you're right, humor is what's missing. And I think paranormal people will laugh. If they looked in the mirror, they'd laugh at themselves. I think that we need a little more humor in the field. We need a little more humor.
Well,
that's why
I like, I do like, of the newer shows, Deep South Paranormal. And we had them on. We talked to them. Right after the first episode on this show, and they're very funny. You know, I mean, on the one hand, they're serious. They use all the tools and whatnot, and even more, they go Hart, the resident Cajun voodoo guy, has all kinds of age old, passed down through my family, as he says, techniques, but they're funny. You know, they're really funny, and I do like that about them. And you know, they play into the whole kind of Southern stereotype, but they but they transcend it as well. So I don't even pay that much attention to, you know, usually how shows are doing, quote unquote, numbers wise and whatnot. At least not till, you know, maybe in aggregate, but. I mean, I've heard people say things about that would indicate they like it, because it is a little bit different.
Yeah, I only first saw the commercial for it. I don't have cable, but I saw the commercial for it the other day, and it looked very funny. But yeah, I think just for also for entertainment value, you can draw in more people, and it's not doing in a way where you're making fun of or parodying. They're people, and people are funny being themselves. And if you let them be that way, that, you know, I couldn't agree. Of course I couldn't agree with you more, being the comic and doing it, and it's really fun. But you're right on the evidence, because you can't explain it to anyone. You have to go do it. You have to go do it to really experience and believe. You can play all the EVPs that you want, but unless someone gets there and does it, they don't. I brought my mother ghost hunting, and she's full-on believer now. I brought her to Houghton Mansion, and she didn't believe it. And, yeah, and now she's got a whole new perspective on it, because you have to go. You can't talk anybody into it.
Now, have either of you been to the Queen Mary? Have you done an event there or investigated there, or?
Yes, I've been to the Queen Mary a couple of times. They seem to be going through, they're not as, I've never gone to an event there, but yes, I've gone down with two or three other ghost hunters, mostly during the day, and in the engine room have had a blast. They got a little different about, I think it costs now, or I saw a lot of things on Facebook about it being costing money, and it's quite a bit more than it used to be and stuff like that. But I got in just before that and had a really good time there.
Now, you do, I'm sorry, I don't know which one of you would have to look at the episode info. Does the Carnival Cruise, Sonia, you do the Carnival Cruise. So when you're doing the Carnival Cruise work, you're doing your stand-up comedy there, or are you doing, are you combining your paranormal aspects of your comedy in with that when you're doing that?
No, because I found that cruise directors don't have a sense of humor. So it's just a straight stand up. If any variation, and I was shunned. So I couldn't do anything. It was a straight stand up on there. But the Queen Mary is actually fascinating to me, because I think it's magical. My brother and his wife went there the night of their honeymoon, and two things happened. One, he had said before they even got married that if on their honeymoon, the night of their wedding, if the Wizard of Oz was showing, then she would have to wait to do anything, because he loves Wizard of Oz. And so they went there on the night that they got married. Wizard of Oz was playing, and my brother is now gay. So I'm not, you know, again, maybe it's that math thing that I'm not really putting all the pieces together accurately here, but I think that's kind of like a map there. They went to Queen Mary, now my brother's gay.
Oh, my Lord.
Got to be something there, right?
That is paranormal.
Yeah, yeah. See how deep it runs?
Water and, under the water.
And see, that kind of stuff is all that I've got because I have to be honest about, totally honest with it, about this. I had never been ghost hunting before I went with my best buddy, Karen, here. She took me, and I'm pretty sure that I made the arrangement that, okay, I'll go, but tonight we have to spoon. Because I'm the biggest chicken there is. Like, when we go, I'm kind of, like, kind of glued to her. Don't leave me.
Do you run into, or would you have an affinity for animal spirits?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would. And that.
And have you?
Yes. Yes. And that's something that happens on a daily basis for me, in that when people want to speak to their animals that have passed over. So that to me is just kind of commonplace, and then I see them as well, and that is happening more and more. I think, you know how when your mind is open to something and you've experienced something in a new way, which is something that Karen did for me, is to show me, you know, to go ghost hunting with her and to experience that, and just as an extension of that, you know, just seeing things that I would have maybe in the past just kind of dismissed. So it's fascinating to me now. It's just fascinating. And she is the expert, though. I tag along.
What about the tarot cards? When Karen, when you're doing the tarot card readings, do you find, or has this ever come up when you've done a tarot reading at a haunted, at maybe a presentation or an event or in a haunted location, do you think that you get better readings or more activity comes up? We've done, like, my partner Kathy and I have done talks and presentations at haunted locations, and we've been asked to do tarot card readings, and we brought them kind of to display, just as kind of, these are some things that are used in the paranormal. And we were asked to do readings. And there I was doing readings, and I'd never done readings before. I had studied tarot a little bit, but I'd never done readings before. And I don't know, I don't know if it was just, I was very basic, but it was amazing because every reading I did, the people were like crying and in tears, saying I knew exactly what I was talking about and all this stuff. And I'm like, look, I'm just looking at the cards. But I thought, my theory was it had maybe something to do with the atmosphere and where I was, because I'm not a psychic, and I don't have that, you know, I like the tarot cards for what they are and the history and what they represent, but I'm not a reader. So I just thought it was very interesting. And we have friends, Michelle Belanger and Jackie Williams, who developed the Watcher Angel Tarot, which is probably the most intricate tarot that I've ever looked at. And it's very complicated, and the backstories are amazing. But I find it another fascinating aspect of the paranormal with the tarot cards, and just wondering what some of your experiences are with the tarot card readings.
Well, yeah, actually, I couldn't agree with what you're saying more, but it's funny because that is how I started out, with being more of a historian and learning about the parts of the cards and what every card means. And that, I would say, if you chose to call yourself a reader, you would be in that category, because the more you learn about the card, you know, you can read one card. I know like 100 things about the magician card, and I know 100 things about this card. And then what happens is, when you do a layout, you see how they all connect. And then that actually develops your psychic abilities way more. And that's how I started, because I didn't really feel like I had anything psychic going on, but I feel like everything has grown and grown and grown. And then the Reiki enhanced it. But it's funny because when Sonia and I do readings on stage, I think, first of all, you put the two psychic energy together, and then you get a whole bunch of people pointing their attention at it, and it turns
out to be a
little...
And they all end up in Tijuana.
Yes, yes, and it's 1972, and but it really turns out, like, I will never forget one of the, when we did finish a show in Scranton, we were sitting there, and something came up on behind me that was so clear, that was, it was a tall male ghost, and I really think that once we do, that we put that into play, I think it is all connected, and it does start energies moving, and they become way more powerful. In fact, now I can't wait to get to Cleveland, because I want to meet you guys and go out somewhere and do this with you.
Oh, we can take you. Just amazing places.
Yes,
amazing
places
area. Absolutely.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think anytime you get that energy started, and I'm always careful, like sometimes I use my pendulum, but I have a lot of friends that are demonologists and stuff and know how to do the right, you know what I mean, just being careful of what you bring in with you so no one follows you home or you don't, you know, that kind of thing. But I really, yeah, I think there's absolutely something to that. Each tool you bring in adds just a little more, sort of takes that vibration either up or down a level that it totally attracts, and yeah, I agree.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's become kind of commonplace when Karen and I do the shows. It just seems to be just the norm for us now, that it just really seems to ignite the energies, and then, you know, we're seeing something constantly after the show.
Wow, if you guys ever come to Cleveland, I've got a perfect place in mind, that the place where Kathy and I were doing these tarot readings. It's a very historic place called the Hermit Club, and it's like an actor's, almost like an actor's clubhouse, but the building itself has got incredible history, and we found it to be very haunted and just had amazing experiences there. We weren't expecting it. We were just kind of invited to a party as, you know, ghost hunters. We get hired out like magicians and, you know, balloon clowns and stuff these days. We had an amazing time, and we weren't expecting it. We had the pendulums and the tarot cards and all this, and we were just kind of showing them, but all this stuff was happening, and it just, we were kind of blown away by it. And, God, you guys would love it. You should come out with the Haunted Housewives and just take over. It'd be awesome.
I would love to. You know, that's funny because when I went up, I live in Massachusetts, and when I went up to North Adams, I wanted to go to Houghton Mansion, and I couldn't get a hold of the guys that were in charge to run it, or they said it had been booked or something. So I called my cousin, and I said, "Do you want to make a haunted video of two middle-aged women trying to break into a haunted house?" And she said, "Or I have the key." Because the school system stores stuff at Houghton Mansion. And she said, "I'll ask, you know, so-and-so, and we'll get the right authority, and we'll go in." And it was funny because I did something with them at the school beforehand. Everybody came out, and we're there, like, I do a really quick sweep in this hallway, and the guy says, there's a kid that we know that committed suicide here that we think he walks these halls. So I have everything set up, and not 10 minutes, we're not even there a minute, and I go, "Hey, if Bobby is here, can he come? Would he like to speak to us? Can you step by this machine and light it up?" Not even 2 seconds, every piece of equipment I have goes off, and everyone's like, and I'm like, wow, it's, so it doesn't happen that fast usually, you know. It's like you can't explain to them that, like, no, this is really hard and it takes a long time. And they were like, no, everything went on immediately. And I was like, wow. So it is funny when you get a place like that that's so hot that then people expect they're going to walk into every place and, you know, someone's going to walk around and talk to them. But it was the same experience. Yeah, all of a sudden everything was working. But I know with actors and theaters, they just tend to be very, very haunted, period.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I have a question. Have either of you had a spirit respond to humor?
I have. We were at a theater in Arizona. And because I really do like the theater history and stuff like that, and I started, it's very interesting because when you tell jokes, they really do like them, and we started to have a lot of movement after. But sometimes it's very hard to think of a joke that someone from the 16th century would get. You know what I mean? Like, that's really more of a problem than anything. But usually if you make fun of someone's wife, that seems to be universal.
So what happened?
Actually, I believe, I don't remember if we had, that was the most point we started to pick up EVPs, and we were with my friend Catherine, who's a psychic medium, and she just definitely said everything started to pick up after that. And I believe we did have a laugh on there. Somebody picked up a laugh on the EVP.
Cool. Well,
so,
you
yeah.
would think if there's intelligence involved, if it's... it's an active, present spirit rather than residual, that there would be some kind of response to humor one way or another.
And another big one is like when you do yoga, you do ohms, together. That seems to also stir up a lot of activity because I think they like to ride on that vibration. They like to speak over that vibration. And they also, it's very calming. Like, I think it brings that non-threatening feeling there. But it's like a very, like, ohm is a vibration of being peaceful, and I think they also like that.
Interesting, very interesting. Hey, where are you separately or collectively going to be appearing in the near future?
I will be in Salt Lake City, Utah at Wise Guys in Trolley Square starting Thursday. And then I go Atlantic City at the end of the month.
Cool.
And I'm going to be in Baltimore Thursday, up in Sackett's Harbor, New York, over the weekend. And then I believe Indianapolis at the end of the month.
So you really do kind of go and, you know, work and talk to people and stuff. This wasn't a ruse.
It's not a ruse. It's not a ruse.
Thank God. All right. I imagine all of this information would be on your two sites. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you can go to KarenRonchowski.com and ParanormalComics.com and Sonia, what is your site, Sonia King?
SoniaKing.com.
Hey, can I make an announcement real quick, too, before the ladies get off? Speaking of great, awesome women in the paranormal, my partner, Kathy Weber, will be appearing tomorrow night on an episode of Haunted Collector on the Sci-Fi Channel. So make sure you watch us. Watch our friend John Zappas and Brian Cano. And don't blink, and you'll see Kathy Weber, Haunted Housewife extraordinaire. She is... commenting as a historian and a local author, but they are from another one of our illustrious haunted places here in Northeast Ohio. But we'll have all the information for Sonia and Karen up on the show page, and you can download the episode if you missed anything. So don't forget, ways to get in touch, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. Right, Eric?
Right, Teresa. You're just hurrying for that exit, aren't you?
I'm way behind in the Facebook likes as compared to the 100,000 Twitter follows we have. It's not going as fast, but hit us up on Facebook, AM Haunted on Facebook.
Get on that, woman.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. Busy writing this damn book.
Thank you so much, you guys, for having us.
Oh, our pleasure. It was really fun. I mean, talk about a quick hour. It has become a cliche that I say that was a super fast hour, but this was a really super fast hour. It was really fun. You're both very interesting as well as super funny. I'd love to meet you in person, absolutely, either separately or collective. Please do let us know if you're going to be anywhere near Cleveland, because that would be fantastic.
Are you doing any of the big cons at Scarefest or any of the big cons that are – there's like 1,000 of them, I know, but any of the big paranormal conventions will you guys be at? Any?
You know what? We did Phenomenology this year, which was awesome, and I did Virginia City Paracon, and I'm hosting Las Vegas Paracon.
Ooh,
I know. We're just starting in that I would love to. We got a tape made now, and we're just trying to break into. I was trying to get into the ParaFest, and I think we missed the. I think they were already booked when we got to them. But ScareFest next year, I would definitely love to get a hold of her because I really, I think they would love it. And so far, our track record has been great. So we're building a resume, and we'll get you guys to a show in Cleveland, and then hopefully, word will spread.
Well, once our world-famous book, America's Most Haunted, hence the brand, is out, that'll be on Penguin. Yay! It'll be waddling out sometime after the first of the year. So that's why we're working madly. We have selected the 10 most haunted locations, public, semi-public locations in the country, and we're kind of profiling those in a fair amount of depth. We're telling the tales, but we're also doing original research, and we, which mostly means Teresa, have been to many of the locations, so we're also, of course, including personal experience and whatnot. So once that's out, I would think one of the things that will start happening is we'll start to be invited to these confabs as well.
Absolutely. And you know what? Let me know when the book comes out, and we will plug it on our Facebooks and our Twitters, and I can't wait to read it myself. This sounds wonderful. And someone that gets to travel the world, we're going to pick gigs right where the 10 spots you told us about.
Well, I'm sure you know most of them. I was going to ask, though, the one I referred to in Western Pennsylvania is perhaps the least known nationally, and I was just wondering if you guys had heard of the Knickerbocker Hotel.
I have heard the name for sure. In fact, maybe we should look to start planning a show there.
You know, there's a haunted Knickerbocker Hotel in Los Angeles as well. This is a much smaller, completely different, but same name and very, very haunted in Lionsville, Pennsylvania. But I know the Knickerbocker, the Knickerbocker in Los Angeles is a great location too. But we chose the smaller, lesser known one in PA. But if you have a chance to check it out, again, that's one that's kind of on the down low, but it's a fabulous place. Lots of interesting history, great stuff. Queen Mary is also one of the places we chose. A lot of places we picked because of the history, not just the hauntings. We love some of that mysterious history and unsolved murders and love affairs gone wrong and all that good stuff. Makes for great reading.
And I hope that we get to meet you guys with Scott. I adore Scott, and he's become a great friend, and I think that, yes, we'll put all that humor together.
Let me tell you, I'm gonna try and find him on Facebook or Twitter after this because I'm so disappointed. I'm hoping he's still listening, but he was in the chat room and then he was gone. But,
comes and goes. He shows up. You never know on this show. He appears every now and then, and we always welcome him. Sometimes though, we just we don't know it was him. I don't see the chat room because I'm running the board, so I see the phone. I see the phone numbers and that stuff, but I do not see the chat stuff, so sometimes we don't put it all together. Anyway, thank you so much, ladies. What a pleasure. Really enjoyed it. Really fun. Very interesting. Plenty more to talk about. We kind of really didn't get into much of one of the things we typically really get into in some depth, typically anyway, are kind of the foundation myths. In other words, how did you guys choose this path? We really didn't talk much at all about how Sonia became aware that she could talk to the animals. I'm really interested in that, and I mean, because it's you're not only transcending the barrier of ESP or telepathy or whatever, but you're literally transcending species, and that to me seems wow. I mean, that's crazy. So plenty left to talk about, and again, we refer all the listeners to your respective websites. One more time, we will say what they are: KarenRontowski.com and SoniaKing.com. Check them out. If they're going to be anywhere near you, I'm guessing they're pretty darn funny. So thank you so much. It was great. This was one of the ones, one of the episodes where it was kind of off the cuff. And I, Karen, I guess I ran into you. No, how did I run into you? Somewhere online.
I think a Twitter got. We had a Twitter, and you saw our paranormal Twitter, and then you reply to it.
So there you go. So that worked out super good. Well, no, you know what it was? I think I saw that you were maybe it was something to do with the conventions, whether it was that you were to be hosting the Vegas one or you just come from another one, and I thought, what a notion, Paranormal Comics.
Or it could have been.
All right, well, have a fantastic week and rest of your evening, and be sure we will be here once again next week. In fact, we're going to do a special episode. They're all special. But we're going to do a different kind of episode next week. We're actually going to focus on one of our haunted locations from the book, and we're going to bring in guides and experts and have a kind of in-depth chat on one of the 10 locations from America's Most Haunted. So that will really be interesting. It's the first time we've done that on the radio. Obviously, we're doing it in print all the time, but we haven't done it on the radio yet. So I'm really looking forward to that. So have a great week, everyone. Thank you for listening. Check us out, AM Haunted, and certainly Facebook. Like the Facebook. Like the Facebook. Like the Facebook. AM Haunted. We got to get that caught up. I'm picturing this teeter-totter, and on the teeter-totter, there's the Twitter on one end. We won't mention how many followers. And then there's the Facebook on the other end. And, you know, we want to get them teetering.
You want to get them balancing.
We don't want them to totter. We want them to teeter.
Yeah,
so we will move forward on that, and you know things will naturally sort of even out anyway as all of the various things, the reasons that we are building the brand, i.e. the book, of course, first, but you know we hope to get into TV ourselves, and we'll see whatever happens down the line. When those things start coming together and the brand is just kind of out there, then I'm sure things will even out. As it's been, I'm really just teasing because I have really focused and put a lot of time, like every day, into the Twitter, just as kind of one of the prongs of our brand building. And that between that and the radio show, you know, we really really have worked hard on those to get the word out. So that's why the disparity is the way it is, and I'm sure it will even out. All right, thank you so much. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, ladies.
Bye. Bye.